The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello and welcome to Hysteria, the podcast that does not need to calm down. I'm Erin Ryan. This week on the podcast, our New Yorkers Z-Way, Alyssa, and Blair discuss what freedom means for American women this Independence Day. Then we'll hop to Los Angeles, where Kieran, Grace, and Megan answer men's questions in a segment we're calling Dude, You Asked. Then Grace and Blair have a quick talk on immigration, then back to New York for I'll Have What She's Having to take you through your long weekend. A programming note, because it's a holiday week, we recorded the conversations you're about to hear before news of Justice Anthony Kennedy's retirement broke. So think of our voices as hopeful time capsules of a time before everything was on fire. So this episode is about freedom. It's the 4th of July week. People are out there blowing things up and eating grilled meats. And and I'm here in New York with my pals, Alyssa Mastromonaco, Blair Amani, and Z-Way Famuto. Hi. And we are all going to have a little chat. So let's get to it. Blair, what are you doing for the 4th of July?
Nothing. I'm going to be brooding on Twitter about how this holiday is a sham, how no one is really free in America. We did celebrate Juneteenth, which is, if you didn't know, Texas kept it quiet that slavery was abolished for a hella time and didn't tell any enslaved folks because Texas and America. It's not just Texas. All of America is complicit. Make t-shirts.
Keep it light.
All of America is complicit. But I just think, like, I just can't, like, in good conscience, and I'm the same way about Thanksgiving, like, celebrate a sham of a holiday, but you have your fun. Like, I really do want to give people the space to celebrate because I think it's time to come together as a family, and I really support that. But I think it's also important to have a conversation about who was free on the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Landowning white men.
So you celebrate an asterisk, essentially. Yes. That's, an asterisk is shaped kind of like a firework.
That's true.
Wow, that's positive.
That was good.
Yeah.
That was good. Oh, Z-Way, what are you doing?
I'm going to Canada.
Perfect.
Yeah.
It's a big middle finger to
I'm
America.
I'm going to Canada. I'm going to Montreal. I'm going to be at a lake house, and I'm going to swim.
It's beautiful up there.
Lovely.
There are so many bugs. There are so many bugs up in that part of Canada.
Oh, damn.
Though. Yeah.
I just like that the U.S. dollar is still strong for now. So I like to spend, prepare.
Maybe you can buy one of those cars that Donald Trump isn't going to let be imported into America.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, get me some steel.
One of those Canadian cars.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man, you know, it's funny. So my best friend, Jack, is Canadian, and he, they all find each other wherever they are. There's like there's little cabals of them. And they're so cute. I just love Canadians, but, it's really funny to talk to Canadians about patriotism because in Canada, it's not cool to be patriotic. Like part of being Canadian is just like, thinking about all the ways that the British Empire was exploitative and harmful to people that were already living in Canada. And so it was a big anniversary of Canada, and I was at a party with a bunch of Canadians, and I was like, hey, happy Canada Day.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we don't do that. Yeah, we don't. It was pretty funny. But I think that Canadians probably celebrate their country in a similar way that Blair approaches Independence Day, in that they're very thoughtful about the ways that their country was built on injustice, which is interesting because Canadians are so like nice, but they have this like very
I think that's part of niceness is like acknowledging the harm that has been done by your benefiting in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's true. Alyssa, what are you doing?
I'm probably going to go see RBG.
Oh, have you seen it yet?
Not yet. Not yet. And Ocean's 8. That's my...
It's so good.
That's my... That's all I care about for the 4th of July.
Hashtag not sponsored, but everyone should go see Ocean's 8 because it's the bomb.
Yeah,
I'm so hesitant to say the bomb because I'm Muslim, so yeah. I'm like, but it's the bomb.
Damn.
Come find me, NSA. I'm ready.
Oh, no, don't say that. Girl, don't say
girl,
that.
We cannot protect you from the
yeah,
NSA.
Good luck, girl. Sorry, bye. I'm a good patriot.
Okay, we need to.
American.
We need to put our phones in the fridge for this recording of our there's actually some places like where reporters, if they're talking about something super, super sensitive, will put their phones in a refrigerator so that, like, while they're talking about mm-hmm. it, so that they can't. The government can't hear. Anyway.
I've seen Citizen 4. I get it.
I tweet everything. I so, ha.
I usually really love the 4th of July for the family stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like really, it's a pretty time of year. Where I'm from in Wisconsin, it's like very green and lush and the weather's perfect. And because it never gets, it's not hot for very long there. The heat never just like sinks into the ground and radiates back up like it does in New York City. Like by August, you feel like the heat is coming from the sidewalks and from above you. But in Wisconsin, it's always like this nice coolness of the ground and nice. It's just really pretty and there's frogs singing and it's gorgeous.
It's basically a Bob Seger song.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It is a Bob Seger song.
Yeah.
I'm a character in a Bob
Or a Frank Seger. Ocean song for us.
Oh. Yes.
Pop I'm gonna maybe. I'm gonna maybe. compare every white reference to a black reference.
Oh, I see. That's I was thinking of the Princess
Can we just
of the
make
Frog.
It like an old reference? Like I'm just way older than you.
Yeah.
Guys.
It was like okay. the Proclamation Declaration.
You probably can't even name a Bob Seger song.
But can you name a Frank Ocean song?
No.
Touche.
Because I'm not
We're a Venn
I'm
diagram
old.
That's two separate circles.
We do it here.
So let's transition to more, I guess, vague ideas around the concept of freedom. Because, you know, Independence Day is supposed to celebrate America's freedom. But as we know, people are varying degrees of free in this mm-hmm. country, ranging from extremely to not at all.
True.
Ranging
from
extreme freedom! I got love!
I think extreme freedom is like you're able to conduct a corrupt... you're able to nakedly like act in a manner that's corrupt.
Or wear
like Jared Kushner.
Yeah, like Jared Kushner.
Or wear a tank top that says abolish slavery with Abraham Lincoln also wearing a tank with the shirt that says abolish
Yeah, you're talking about someone specific.
Yes, I am.
And I'd love to
last 4th of July. I was like, can I take your picture? He was like, don't put my face in it. I was like, it's because you know you're doing something wrong by wearing this shirt that says abolish slavery, sir.
Yeah. Oh no. I've been thinking about like the concept of freedom and what it means to be a woman in America, what it means to be a white person in America, what it means to be a person who is childless and living in a big city and working in the media and being extremely privileged in America. And you know, the Supreme Court session that just ended last week is something that really, I think, even if you're a person who you know you're always going to have access to freedom that women have, like, you know, kind of at the subject of the whims of lawmakers, even if you know that you're going to have access to those things, the Supreme Court has kind of made it clear that they don't really respect the freedoms that women who are marginalized need to survive and live at the same level that white women live at. And so I guess I'm like very elaborately dancing around the concept of reproductive rights. I know that it's not really fun to tune into a podcast where a bunch of women yammer about abortion, but it's really important. Before Roe v. Wade, women were able to obtain abortions, and those women were rich white women and people who were so desperate that they were willing to risk their health to obtain it. And I'm worried, Alyssa, that we're kind of heading back in a direction where that's what things are going to be again.
Yes, we are. Literally, RBG should be in the witness protection program, like because nothing can happen to her. Because if Donald Trump, all he has to do is appoint one more judge, and I have... You know, like, I think we can all always be smarter, and I certainly abide by that. And so when I was getting really worked up about this, I started doing some research and found out that if something happened to RBG, if Donald Trump appointed another conservative justice.
Injustice.
Injustice would happen. So if Roe v. Wade were overturned that very day, 33 states in the United States of America could make abortion illegal.
Yeah.
They're called trigger laws.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that I've heard you bring it up before, and we need to keep bringing it up.
Because I didn't even know what they were. I had to Google trigger laws because I heard Elise Hoag, who's the head of NARAL, who is a friend of mine, talk about it. And I actually went straight to her and I was like, explain the trigger laws to me.
Totally.
And she did. And so since she took the time to explain it to me, I like to make sure everybody else knows what it is, because so many people do not know that the next day it could literally be illegal.
Yeah. Yeah. What I think is really interesting about, you know, we're talking about like reproductive rights kind of being slowly eroded. This session, the Supreme Court ruled on a case of California, a California law that made it illegal for crisis pregnancy centers, which are centers with an agenda that misrepresent themselves as medical facilities, but are actually kind of indoctrination stations to convince women to not have abortions. The California had a law that made it illegal for them to omit information about reproductive health to the women who come to them for advice.
So, AKA made it illegal for them to lie.
Made it illegal for them to lie.
Medical stuff.
About medical, like basic medical care. And the Supreme Court said that law is unconstitutional. And Anthony Kennedy, who is just the biggest fucking disappointment, the biggest fucking disappointment for all of his showboating around certain rights issues, he sure has left women out to dry.
Definitely.
He's God, fuck that guy. Anyway, so, you know, he wrote that it's in the state's, basically the ruling said that it's in the state's interest for women to not abort their pregnancies.
Yes.
Which is a ridiculous thing to say. And also there are laws in Texas and other places that require doctors to lie to women who are seeking abortions and require doctors to say things to women. So it's just this real doublespeak that's happening right now. It's legal for the government to lie, or for people to lie to women in the service of convincing them not to have abortions, but it's not illegal to force doctors to try to convince women to not have abortions.
And it's also the major, like, this is sort of the big tenet of this SCOTUS, right? That they're just abandoning all sort of responsibility in a lot of ways and just sending everything back to the states.
Yeah.
You know, voting
that
rights,
worked well.
Gerrymandering, it's all, they're just like, so here, we're just going to say,
state rights,
Ohio, if you want to purge your voter registration rolls every 2 years, then like it's up to Ohio. And so I just think that they are really,
well, it's intentional
bumming
it's
out
totally it's an intentional effort to keep white supremacy as well as misogyny, the patriarchy in power.
Yeah,
women can have children, therefore women can't do anything else.
Well, what I think is really interesting is
aren't,
that they
aren't good for anything
aren't
else.
Aren't good for anything
else. Right. There's some interesting parallels between the current administration's attitude toward reproductive choice and other kind of comparable people's attitude toward reproductive choice. Vladimir Putin, for example, doesn't like abortion because he thinks more Russians should be like repopulating Russia.
Which is, again, so fucking interesting because Russia has the most severe like adoption policies and their orphanages.
Really?
Their orphanages are not state sponsored, which is why like there's such an interest in Russian adoption, because these kids go to these sort of sad places that are really underfunded and there's no one who talks to them or interacts with them. And that's why like all of these shows about adopted kids that go insane in America. I mean, it's all based on the emotional abuse basically and neglect that happens in Russia, because you should have to have your baby, but we're not going to help you take care of it.
Sounds like America. Like, what's really troubling is, so in Texas, I worked with a woman when I was at Planned Parenthood who, she was able to have a child and like raise her child because of so much help from the state and all of those services that she benefited from, whether it was like maternal health care education, whether it was like a job program or a school that was like for people who were pregnant because she got kicked out of her regular high school. All of those programs are gone in addition to cutting from health education. So she's devoted her life to women's health education, not just women's health education, but reproductive health education, because it's like the last bastion of hope is prevention. But in a world where people are not able to make decisions about their bodies.
Totally.
What services are there? Because, you know, it's really just leaving folks out to dry. And again, it's this destruction of families that Donald Trump is just kind of beating, you know, and whatever he did in this week. Since we won't be talking about it.
Yeah.
Shame on him.
I mean, let's just leave 5 seconds of silence for you to just scream what Donald Trump did. Okay. Oh, that's terrible.
Damn, I can't believe
I can't believe he did that.
Well, we could believe he did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's probably rooted in American history.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, that's really interesting. Also, I think I think in Nazi Germany, they hated abortion, too.
Yeah.
Because they were trying to repopulate Germany with, with apple-cheeked Aryans.
Fascists.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, there seems like something really insidious. And I know I harp on this all the time, but if a woman can't decide what happens inside of her own skin, then nobody is free. Like, if you can't decide how to live your life as a full person, if you can't decide when you're going to have a family, if it's something that just happens to you,
that's not consent.
That's not consent. And it's something that, like, I'm not a single issue voter, but I could never support a candidate that didn't support full, like, reproductive choice and access to reproductive choice.
And the baffling thing for me is that, like, the Democratic establishment seems to still be struggling with this issue.
Yes.
But voters are really showing time and time again that, like, we know the issues that we want. And it's really the idea that we're not leaving anybody behind. We're not leaving trans folks behind. We're not leaving sex workers behind. We're not leaving the conversation about reproductive health decisions behind. Mm-hmm. And the Democratic establishment is like, let's endorse this one dude who hates abortion. And it's like, damn.
And guess what?
Sexist.
He can hate abortion for himself.
Yeah.
That's fine. He cannot have an abortion.
Yeah, exactly.
He can marry someone who would never have an abortion. But the whole point that everybody glosses over is that you just can't impose your will on my body.
Exactly.
You can feel however the fuck you want to feel. Just don't think that it's going to have anything to do with me.
Exactly. It's a right to choose, as well as the pro-life movement is just pro-birth. Mm-hmm. It's really not about the life of the child.
Because these pro-life folks are the same ones who are locking up and endure it, like, who are like, oh, yeah, internment camps for kids. That's great.
Yeah,
they have toys.
It's a farce.
They have soccer balls.
No, guys, they're not cages. The kids are not. They're
windowless rooms.
They're not cages.
Yeah. Windowless rooms with metal fencing.
Yeah, it's
right.
The most upsetting thing for me was, like, last week I saw this, a picture that the Trump administration had put out where it's supposed to show this kid making a phone call, one of their 2-minute phone
calls. I saw
that. And it had nothing on the, like, on the receiver. Like, they had a little image and no phone call was being made. And I was like, oh, dope. Like, North Korea state visit stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it's so tragic. They just half-ass trying to pretend that anything that they're doing is authentic. Remember when Donald Trump was pretending to write the State of the Union speech on a notebook that had no pages used?
With nothing else on his desk?
Doesn't he have speech writers?
Yeah, and he was holding up
Stephen
the corner.
Miller.
he was like, it was like, come on. But it's like, I wish they would try a little harder to fake it, that they care.
Do you?
Maybe. But I mean,
I like how blatantly disrespectful and obvious it is, because it lets me know that I am in reality and these are the offenders.
Yeah.
The other thing about freedom, too, just on the subject, is that when we're talking about this incarceration and, like, this movement against the internment camps that we're seeing for immigrant children and such, it's also kind of there's a person on Twitter, Mariam Kaba, who goes by the name Prison Culture. If you don't follow her, please do. But she regularly tweets about just child incarceration and how this is something that isn't exclusive to the immigration struggle, but this is something that's across America. Mm-hmm. And so don't call the police on your neighbors this 4th of July.
Yeah.
Because it has real consequences.
It's an act of I think it's an act of violence, especially for gentrifiers, to move into a space.
Colonizers.
I think gentrification is colonization. Yeah. To move into a space and then call the police when you're ever uncomfortable.
Yeah. One of the things that I think is interesting about the debate about immigration and separating families is that a talking point of the Team Trump and the right, the kind of anti-immigration hardliners, was that, well, in America, when people are in prison, we take their kids away too. Like, I'm supposed to be like, oh, no,
at least
that's,
it's fair.
But that's also not fucking fine. Yeah, that is also not fucking fine.
Yes, correct. Just that one, it's like you hear them and you're like, wait, pause, rewind. Did they really?
My favorite thing that was said was the person who was like, well, yeah, I spoke to some African Americans.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, yeah. And they were on, like, Fox. Gosh, this is safer than the projects I grew up.
That was, okay,
and
first of all.
Feminista Jones was like, black people don't say gosh.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're lying.
First of all, Rachel Campos Duffy lives in Ashland, Wisconsin, which is close to where I grew up. Now, there are no projects in Ashland, Wisconsin. I believe the closest.
And the only black people are
Wait,
Kanye
she's
West.
The one from The Real World, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
she's
yeah.
The one that, she's from The Real World?
If you, I think if you made
Boston?
Out,
season one.
No.
Whoa. Season two.
San Francisco. The one.
Wow.
And she made out with Puck. She is not to be
she
trusted.
She sure did.
She is not to be trusted.
Oh, my God.
When people show you who they are, believe them.
Yeah. True, believe true, them.
She's true. Married to Sean Duffy, who is... Sean Duffy was a lumberjack on a different season of Real World, but he's now a congressman from Wisconsin. He represents my
Run
parents.
For office, folks. You can
and he
this.
Is making America
he,
great.
He Damn. Represents my parents' district. That's And it used to be a longtime Democratic stronghold, but he came in with his fucking Crest white strips and his... orange spray tan
and, the devil.
And his Damn. Wife who very desperately wants to be a panelist on The View but is somehow too dumb.
That's they have some intellectual
but
discussions
she,
up there.
I do like The View. I think that there's a lot of smart women who participated in conversations on The View. Yeah. But like there's also been people who have cycled through The View who have been pretty dumb. So like she's even below that. Mm. Bar.
Damn.
She sucks. She sucks. She's the worst. And she definitely did not talk to black people about how, gosh, the projects are worse than the cages are nicer
Shut
than the.
Shut up.
It's just offensive.
Yeah.
It's so silly.
It's totally offensive. And just the notion that, you know, going back to the freedom thing, the people that are kind of the I almost said flag humpers, but
let's go with that.
Trump is a flag humper, technically.
He's
actually a flag groper.
Yeah. Lady Liberty does not want that ass.
He puts his arms around that flag and hugs it like he tries to hug Melanie.
Yeah.
Melanie.
Oh, Melanie. Yeah, it's the
Where is she?
Yeah, the people who are most excited about freedom are least excited about freedom for anybody to do anything that they don't want those other people to do.
It's like a kid that doesn't know how to compromise. Like I remember compromise being a big thing when I was 4 to 5 years old.
Yeah.
They were trying to teach us that in kindergarten.
Totally.
But these folks like skipped that lesson or something. And object permanence, clearly. Like they just, you know, if it's out of sight, it's out of mind. That's object permanence thing. And two, compromise. They don't understand that, like, hey, if you do this thing, it doesn't fucking affect you. So leave it alone.
Yeah, but I think their freedom rests on our oppression.
Yes.
Fundamentally. Yeah. The reason why I actually...
Hashtag America.
The reason why I got an IUD in 2017...
Yes. Aren't they the best?
I hate mine.
What?
It hurts.
Oh.
The reason why I got it, though, is because I saw that John Roberts was wavering about retiring. And I was like, I don't want to be caught in the trap with any reality where I could ever get pregnant in Trump's America and not be able to have a child.
Yeah.
And so that terrified me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think about like having to make all these like small term decisions for long term because of our administration.
Yeah. I actually wrote right before the election, I wrote a piece that I thought was like an over the top kind of joke where it was like, get an IUD, well, you still can.
Seriously.
Oh, I read that one.
Yeah.
I have to.
I was like the first, I was doing it just like as a joke. And then after like he won, people in the newsroom at the Daily Beast were like, are you a witch? Like, how did you?
You were like, yes, but that's beside the point.
Yeah, right. I mean, I've made it clear that I'm a witch. But it was, but it's true. Like, it's really kind of heartbreaking because
it's so heartbreaking.
You have to make a decision like, okay, well, this is a thing that lasts three years or 5 years
or seven to ten.
And then the copper ones last like 11 years or something.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like crazy that a woman who is maybe not even considering the fact that she might want to get pregnant, a woman who's like 18 years old.
Totally.
And about to go off to college might have to like make a decision to get an IUD now because
may not be an available option.
Exactly.
Like, the thing that's really troubling for me, sorry to cut you off, is that they're like, so for folks who have wombs, like that's a practical decision, right? If you can afford to get an IUD in the moment. But for folks who are like transitioning, for example, like there is no long-term solution necessarily. Like if you're on hormone replacement not just for like my mom was on hormone replacement because she had fibroids. And so what if she wasn't able to get reproductive care?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like this is for people who need like, you know, every month or every week something.
Totally.
Or people who can't do an IUD who need to get on birth control. Like, it's just really alarming to think about the folks who are falling through the cracks of this short-term, long-term solution.
Mm-hmm. Totally. That's why I'm buying birth control and IUDs in bulk so that I can deal them out of my car when shit hits the fan.
Dude, when Ritalin runs out, like, in the world... I'm done.
When I see you on Canal Street peddling NuvaRing,
wearing them like jelly bracelets,
exactly.
Totally, they glow.
Hormonal, not hormonal.
That's how it was supposed to be when Hillary won. You know? Yeah. It was supposed to be.
Nuva rings for everybody.
Slingshotting them across the room.
You get a Nuva and you get a Nuva.
I mean, ad for Nuva ring. I've been doing it for 20 years. I love it.
Huh. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I know you just thought Nuva ring's been around for 20 years.
No, no, I did not think it
out of my head.
Nope. Nuva rings look like monocles also, if you really think about it.
They do. Guys, I'm just round. Everything about me is round.
I love circles.
My face is round. My butt is round. Birth control's round.
The cycle of American violence is also round.
Wow, oh. Deep cut. Oh.
Wow.
They used to call me Debbie Downer when I was a kid.
Did they?
Yes.
Nice. They called me Z-Way.
That tracks.
That's on brand.
One of the things, though, that I think that it is really exhausting, and I get tired a lot. I can't imagine how exhausted somebody who is less privileged than me must feel.
Girl, I'm tired.
In this, yeah, I totally understand. Like, anybody that has a rougher life than me, which is most people, is probably more exhausted than I am, and I'm pretty exhausted. Mm. But we can't ever stop paying attention to the ways that reproductive freedom
totally.
Is chipped away, or the way that the administration kind of slowly takes steps to victimize and marginalize families of immigrants, families of the incarcerated. The way that it's happened with birth control and abortion is that the Department of Health and Human Services is staffed with a team of fucking nutburgers.
Nutburgers.
Mm. Nutburgers. And that's not something, they're a political appointee. So there's nothing we can do about it except make a big fucking deal when they
go out to eat, when they go home, when they're on a commute,
when they're at their home.
When they cause shenanigans, when they cause like, but
when they're walking their dogs, when, I mean, I wouldn't harass somebody while they were walking their dog, but that's just me.
Don't harass the dog. Actually,
dogs are racist. Did you see those photos with the dogs chasing the black people in the 60s?
German shepherds.
Yeah.
You can train any dog to not like people.
It's just like Pokemon.
Yeah.
Like, there's no such thing as bad Pokemon, but they're bad trainers.
That's true.
That's a direct quote from Pokemon.
Gary was the bad guy.
Yes.
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Oh, God.
Pokemon go to the polls.
Pokemon, go to hell for reminding me of that.
You know, I thought that was really, you know, I think when she was like trying to dab, when she was talking about Pokemon Go references.
Yeah.
When they did.
We're talking about Hillary right
now.
Yes.
That was great. I thought that was great. I thought it was like, oh, are you trying?
Oh,
like,
really? Yeah. It gave me anxiety on like a human level, deep into my womb.
That's the beauty. That's the beauty of America, is that, you know, you can.
I love being pandered to.
You can discuss your wombs. You can theoretically disagree on whether or not Hillary Clinton's Pokemon Go to the polls statement was good or bad. And I think that one thing we have to kind of wrap up the freedom talk for a little bit but one thing that I think is like, I don't ever want people to feel like we never get to take a nap again. We never get to stop paying attention.
Oh, totally.
This. Like, this is something
we gotta stay woke.
Yes,
stay woke.
The only, and it's gonna be tiring, but right now we're like working on a backlog of not paying the fuck attention to things. Like, we have to keep paying attention. It's just gonna
be
definitely.
And I think listening is important too, because I think that there have been folks who across history have been vigilant to these issues and these crises of freedom. But I think it takes folks who are privileged, like you were saying, to really listen. Mm-hmm. Instead of reinventing the wheel or starting a new organization, to look to folks who have been in the trenches and fund them.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's important to look within and really appreciate the freedom that we have, even if it doesn't feel like we have it. I remember in college, someone in my poetry class was bragging about not voting. Mm-hmm. And I just think about that conversation once a week because of the state of politics now, because people who were liberal didn't vote because they trusted that the system would work itself out. Mm-hmm. But democracy takes work, mm-hmm. and we have to work it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, we have the day off today, theoretically, because it is the 4th of July.
Independence Day.
Yeah.
And like my mom used to say, which is like the most capitalist thing ever, but when you're bored, that's a privilege. Like,
mm-hmm. totally.
A lot of people have to like haul ass, like, you know, work constantly. People are working like, you know, hella jobs because this economy sucks.
Yeah.
I think about folks who I see on the subway who are like trying to pay off student loans with selling bracelets on the train.
Yeah.
And so really, like, if it's down to that, like, if you have moments of calm in your life, like, that's something to really cherish. It's like kind of, it feels like a measly thing, but to really try to make the most of all the time you have.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. Especially this time with your family on this sham of a holiday.
Yeah. And on that note, I think we're going to take a break. That was a great way to end it, Blair.
That was poetic.
Poetic, but not like the poetry class person who didn't
know.
Vote.
No. Richard.
Oh, fucking
and
Richard.
And he was a cunt. He sucked. He
sucked. Don't be like fucking Richard, guys.
No, oh, but that's his real name. Just kidding.
His name is fucking Richard?
Yeah. Richard the cunt.
Yeah.
Worst <A Kentfordshire. laughs>
Worst British monarch ever. We have to take a break, but when we come back, Dude, You Asked with the LA crew. LA, with the segment we're calling Dude, You Asked. This is the only part of the show that men are allowed to participate in. These are anonymously sourced, randomly selected questions. I asked a question on Twitter if you could ask a panel of women a question and know you'd get an honest and blunt answer, what would you ask? So this is the segment of the show where we do that. Okay, ladies. this one is, let's see. Bulbasaur, Charmander, or Squirtle? Does anybody know what that means?
This is a Pokemon. I said Oh, this one, the Pokemon things.
She's got it. The Midwest girl got it.
I was a nanny, and I feel like this is a Pokemon.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the right answer.
Great.
Oh, okay.
That was the right answer. Yeah.
Okay, what's the worst thing men seem to do without thinking about it?
Mansplain.
Great.
Ooh, yeah. Why is this one to stump? The worst thing. Well, because we're having a hard time thinking of just one.
Gaslight. Kieran said three.
I mean, it's definitely rape. And murder.
Without thinking about it.
But like, then if Kieran took those, I do so absentmindedly just leaving the seat up, and it's like just not hard. It's not hard. Like. It's so easy. Just put it down.
Mm-hmm. It's that and rape.
Yeah, that and rape.
I'm being a dick. I'm being a labia.
Yeah, you're not being a dick at all. Okay, next question. Still nah on pleated pants?
Oh, yeah, still nah.
But see, I don't know. I like a sort of like Dick Tracy look, you know, yeah. Like a Zeta. I also have on a pleated pant right now, and I look like a Rockford Peach on her day off. And so, I don't know. I've seen a lot of men make looks work lately. That I say, hey, if you got it, let me see it.
I say, live your best life.
I say a hard no. Just pass. Par's out.
Okay.
Kieran's live your life, and then you have a whole. Megan has a blog about it.
Here's one. How much worse is it going to get
for you? I hope a lot.
bad, real bad. It's gonna get bad.
You don't think we're at the bottom?
No, I don't think so. I think we still got some digging to do.
I made a short documentary about my like immigrant family, and at the end, my mother has this haunting look in her eyes, you know, and then she's just kind of like, "I don't know, kitten.
Oh no.
Oh, we will just have to wait and see." And then she just kind of stares.
Oh god,
it's over.
Oh my god! Yeah.
Wow,
you made a horror film about
it. Yeah, it's like what? And then peace, and then it was out.
I had a similar interaction with Danny DeVito this week.
it's a very evergreen response.
Yeah,
you know, like we shot that a couple months ago, and I was like, still relevant.
It sounds
still
like the relevant. Plot of Hereditary too. Yeah.
Well, no spoilers. That, I haven't seen it yet. Okay, here's one. What is your biggest security concern, personally, nationally, and cyber, which you may or may not want to throw into its own category?
Wow. As a female comedian, and this is something I think people forget about a lot, I travel alone all the time, and it is terrifying. And when I think about, like, just the numbers, it scares me. So that's my personal I worry that the world is melting and I will have children and they will fall off.
Off the melting?
Yeah, I don't know. But
like into the ocean?
Something. They'll fall. They'll definitely be falling and then they will be dead. I worry about my children being dead and they're not even born.
I'd like to not have to carry a gun with me.
Just wait, do you have a gun right now?
I do not have a gun right
now. She's from Texas.
I am from Texas.
They make you leave with a gun. No, I'm just kidding. That's no.
I would like to not have to do that in order to feel safe in America. That's probably one of my bigger concerns. I'd also like to feel empowered and welcome as a Mexican woman here too. And sometimes that is not the case.
All right. One more. This doesn't make any sense. Bananas?
Every day.
Okay.
There's always money in the banana stand.
All right, great. That was Dude, You Asked. I almost said Dude, Where You Asked. when I was in college, I studied in Greece, and Dude, Where's My Car had just come out on DVD, and the Greek translation was Malacca, Where's My Car, but in Greek. And in Greek, Malacca means like jerk off. So they translated Dude to jerk off in Greek on the bootleg Greek DVD.
That's actually amazing. Pretty apropos.
Yeah, it works. I feel like it's better.
Hey, Malacca. Jerk off. Yeah. Hey, I need a car here.
Is it like the noun jerk off or to jerk off, the verb form of it?
It's like jag off. It's okay, like, gotcha. And it's also sort of like in Greek, I'm not Greek, but I was there. But in Greek, it's sort of like, it's a very familiar term. So like you can use it among your best friends, but you definitely can't use it with a stranger. I would say like it's not the same because it doesn't have the history at all. But it's sort of like how you can't use the N-word with somebody if you're not in a specific community or you don't have a specific relationship with somebody. That's Malacca, but like with your friends and in Greece. Mm-hmm. It can be bad. I've seen fights start with Malacca.
Wow.
Yeah. Malacca, where's my car?
When I was in, I spent some time in Nepal right after college, like working on my first documentary. And I like, you know how like sometimes just like really stupidly, like you're making like the worst version of a joke. This is very embarrassing. But you'd be like, oh, somebody would be like, oh, I don't want to do that. And it's like your mom doesn't want to do that. One time I did that in a car. This man got so upset with me. We stopped the car. He got out of the car and he's like, why are you talking about my mother? Yeah. And he was like, why are you disrespecting my family and disrespecting my mother? It's like,
why were you, Karen?
Because I'm a monster, Grace. You know me.
Oh my gosh. My experience in Nepal was that the Nepalis are the nicest people in the world.
I was there for a long time.
Yeah.
I was on a deep dive and they got to know me. And
yeah. And then they were getting out of the car and yelling.
Yeah. No, for the most part, amazing. It was amazing. So, but yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's pretty funny. Lost in translation. If you would like to submit, if you're a dude, and you want to ask us something, you can email us hysteria@crooked.com. Warning, though, it's not just me who can see the emails. Oh. So if you send us something really egregious, it will get forwarded around Crooked Media and laughed at, and you will have your face printed out and put on a bulletin board of shame that doesn't exist because I just made it up. But I want you to not send us shitty stuff. If you just want to ask us a nice, real question, you can send us something. hysteria@crooked.com. When we come back, we'll hear a quick conversation between Grace Parra and Blair Amani about what's going on at the border. Here at Hysteria, as in most of decent America, we're paying very close attention to the American government's human rights abuses against immigrants. Next, we're going to go to a quick one-on-one chat between Hysteria co-hosts Grace Parra and Blair Amani, both of whom attended the same pro-immigrant rally in Los Angeles in late June.
Hi, everybody. Grace here. I'm speaking to Blair, who's in New York. I'm in Los Angeles. Technology, guys. We're doing it. We are doing it. I think a lot of us have been thinking about Independence Day and the notion of freedom. And Blair and I realized that the notion of freedom, specifically as it relates to the crisis at the border and the families at the border, is a fascinating topic because, what freedom means to us as citizens is very different from the way that freedom is being applied to families at the border. And it really is about freedom being applied to them by an external source rather than having the the gravitas and the ability to be able to project freedom themselves. And so, Blair, you know, I'd love to get into this with you for a couple reasons. First of all, this is a story that's really personal to both of us. As a Mexican American, and you know, I'm the daughter of two immigrants who migrated in the 70s and were able to do so with really just a series of strokes of luck and knowing people, having family and friends who were able to help them in many ways. And also it being a different era. So this story to me personally is one where I look at it and think like, God, that could so easily have been me and my family. And then Blair, I know that you actually just organized a rally in Los Angeles about this specifically. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about what draws you into this story specifically, and then have us talk a little bit about what freedom really means today.
Definitely. For me, I had just gotten back from my trip to Kenya. I was in this very rural area of Kenya, and it was so idyllic and beautiful. There was no Wi-Fi where I was staying, and I didn't even bother to turn my cell reception on. So awesome. I did check it on Twitter because I'm a millennial. But when I got back home, I'm the de facto activist in my family. And so everyone was turning and, like, you know, asking me immediately. Like, I barely had time to, like, shake off the jet lag before my younger cousin, for example, Xavier, who's 13, was asking me, like, what's going to happen? What's going to change? What does this mean? And then his mother, who actually grew up, you know, as, like, migrant farm worker. And she's, you know, had the privilege and ability to kind of rise through social strata, attain education. And she's a teacher now. But she was telling me, like, you know, this could be me. This could have been my, I could be those children. Mm-hmm. My son could be those children. And so that's really what brought it home to me. But, you know, I grew up in Southern California. I grew up singing Pio, 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 Dice los Pollitos. I grew up speaking Spanish. For those who don't know, that's a, you know, like a children's mm-hmm. song. And most of my caretakers when I was growing up were Latinas.
Mm-hmm. Did you hear Sana, Sana, Colita de Rana over and over again?
Oh, yeah. And El Elefante and in todos los canciones, all the songs. And so my mom's also Puerto Rican. Oh, yeah. Though she didn't know it, she was, you know, she was adopted. Mm. So she didn't learn that until she was older. But I've always felt very a strong connection, whether it's allyship, whether it's sharing in the culture mm-hmm. of Mexican and Latina mm-hmm. heritage. And so I just feel like though it's not something that directly affects me, it doesn't matter mm-hmm. because I can still use my reach and, you know, leverage and connections as an activist. And I've organized rallies before to speak on this issue. And so it was really a situation where I was looking for protests, and it was just prior to when folks started organizing events for the, you know, the 28th and the mm-hmm. 30th that I was like, okay, well, I know a bunch of influencers who are looking for like an action to take. I know that I have so many followers on Twitter, like let's just meet at a like a designated area and have a rally, have a speak out that isn't connected to a government entity, that isn't being, you know, sanctioned or directed or guided by any larger organization, but is really just the people coming together, because I think that's so powerful and it's so healthy and necessary for people to be able to come into a space, raise their voices, be heard. Sorry, I'm getting emotional.
I hear you. But to not be politicized too. I mean, this is I think these rallies that are so many, in so many cases they are so well intentioned, but they become so partisan based on the people that are organizing it and also chosen to speak and to kind of be the faces of them.
Might have mm-hmm. in the past.
This story actually makes me think of what I've been invoking as I've been researching our history, our country's history with freedom and what the notion of freedom and democracy is. And by the way, something that we often conflate. I think we often conflate freedom and democracy. But FDR's Four Freedoms from a speech in 1941 that he gave, I think kind of serves as a like very utopic roadmap for the way that we wish society would actually operate. But his four freedoms, and tell me what you think about this, were freedom of speech, freedom of worship, freedom from want, and freedom from fear. And it sounds like your example is really reacting in many ways to all of these, but especially the freedom from fear. And that, I think, is what is most jarring about what's happening at the border right now, that these people, they're not citizens, but they're human beings, are not...
But just by the way, so everyone knows, just because you're not a citizen doesn't mean you're
exactly,
not a person.
Exactly.
But I think that administration forgets that or refuses to understand it fundamentally. But
I actually think that they don't forget it, because I've been thinking about this too. Jeff Sessions actually invoked this, what year was it? A 1924 immigration law, which basically served as kind of like a launching pad for Nazi Germany. And it's kind of in many ways about like eugenics. And
the idea that like people from Scandinavian nations were better.
Exactly.
And more equipped and smarter. Yep,
the Johnson Mead
Act. Yeah, I mean, it's directly tied to white supremacy. Yes. But what's interesting, what you see in terms of like countries that really are adamantly against fascism, it's folks who, you know, like the countries like Germany, for example, who saw the wrath of fascism, saw these murders. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting that people forget is that while people, you know, while the Holocaust is happening in Germany and in Russia, because there were murders of Jews in Russia as well, America did not allow entry to German Jews. Mm-hmm. We closed our borders to refugees, mm-hmm. like, you know, which made so many people, so many more people die. We'll never know. Only, you know, God knows in history books. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, we were interning Japanese folks, Japanese Americans, and Japanese immigrants all over the country because we felt, and, you know, FDR, for as much as he spoke about freedom, he signed the executive order that allowed the forced internment of Japanese Americans because they were the uh-huh. enemy. They basically portrayed all Japanese Americans as spies of the Japanese nation and made it seem like it was necessary. Uh-huh. And we're doing the same thing now. We're making it seem like we have to incarcerate toddlers for the safety of the
nation. I read about that. Yeah, it's awful. I mean, three-year-olds who are having to represent themselves, by the way, at the border. I mean, it's not unfamiliar for children to have to represent themselves in deportation proceedings, but they're just seeing so many more children at the border now having to do that. It's inhumane.
Absolutely.
Well, happy Independence Day, everybody.
I don't celebrate the 4th of July. I do love, you know, family and stuff, but it's just like when you really think about what it's about, I just couldn't do it in good conscience.
If you'd like to help, find out more at crooked.com/take-action. That's crooked.com/take-action. When we come back, the New York City crew with I'll Have What She's Having. And we're back with a segment I'm calling I'll Have What She's Having. This is where your hosts here at Hysteria give you recommendations for things that women have done that inspire them, for women that inspire them, for art that inspires them that was made by women. And this week, because we're talking about freedom, all of our recommendations are women who in some way or another remind us of freedom. So my recommendation is Linda Greenhouse, former New York Times Supreme Court reporter. She's now a lecturer at Yale Law School. An incredible writer, reporter. She's won a Pulitzer Prize for her work. But she's also a really effective and intelligent advocate, especially for women's reproductive rights. And she's just a brilliant scholar. And everything she's written, even her like kind of dense law review articles, I find myself drawn to. I love her so much. She is, she's just incredible. And the work she does is great. Another woman who really inspires me, who covers the Supreme Court, Dahlia Lithwick, who does it for Slate. Mm. She also has a podcast called Amicus that I listen to religiously. It really has helped me understand more about the courts and justice. And I think those are important things for people to verse themselves in if they want to be full participants in American democracy. So Dahlia Lithwick and Linda Greenhouse, two women who cover the Supreme Court, who just really inspire the hell out of me. Alyssa?
So my hero, my freedom hero, is Robbie Kaplan. Robbie Kaplan is a lawyer who argued in front of the Supreme Court on behalf of Edie Windsor.
Oh, amazing.
Yes, and she was the woman that invalidated part of DOMA and made the federal government recognize same-sex marriage. And she's here in New York. She's a fucking animal, and I love her. And she's very funny on Twitter, so you should follow her.
Oh, great. That's awesome. How about you, Zee Wei?
Nice. Okay, so my hero freedom person is Octavia Butler, who, if you all don't know, you better ask somebody. She was the first science fiction writer to get a MacArthur Fellowship. She's a genius. Kindred, Parable of the Sower, she has bars for days. And her writing challenges the idea of race and time and space and what is bondage and what is freedom. And it's great. And if you haven't read her, you are missing out on knowledge. and that's on you.
What's your favorite of her works?
Parable of the Sower, by far. Only because it's a reality that I can see in our near future. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Should I describe what happens? It's basically...
No spoilers. Yeah. I don't even want to know if it's a book. It's don't even tell me.
It's an Audible... .com.
Okay, Blair, how about you?
So I'm going to shout out one of my mentees, Kenedra R. Woods. So she's absolutely amazing. She spoke at March for Our Lives. She's a gun violence activist. But she also just came out with this video with Brute America, where she talks about dealing with self-harm and trauma and sexual violence and sexual abuse. And as a 17-year-old, to come forward about that so young and to really... I think that it really embodies freedom for me, because she's liberating herself of this kind of secrecy that and stigma that we have as a society when it comes to these subjects, and so young. So she just really makes me inspired. And also on the subject of freedom, I think that if you're in a free enough space to mentor people, to absolutely do that. I think that's one of the greatest ways you can use your privilege and use your freedoms to help other folks get free. But if you don't know Kenedra, definitely follow her. That first name is K-E-N-I-D-R-A. Woods, and she's on all the social medias. Nice. She knows how to use it better than I do, because she's like 5 years younger than me. How old am I? Anyway.
Those kids are going to take over pretty soon.
I know. I can't wait.
I'm bad at math.
Please, teach you guys. Save us.
You guys, hysteria is my last gasp. Okay? After this
last
is
summer,
it. I'm just moving upstate. I'm going to listen to the young people. So let me just like live my best life now.
Until I run for office, and then I make her work up
again. That's exactly right. Please. I'll go door to door for you for sure.
And Ziwei, I understand you have one more recommendation for freedom stuff.
This is about my freedom to be a pop star. I write pop songs about politics. One song is called From Melania to Sri Lanka. My other one is Ponderosa with Omarosa. And I have another one I'm writing about Jeff Sessions. And I have a show July 12th at 8 p.m. at Union Hall in Brooklyn, New York. Come, you will see me perform my songs.
And you'll see me laugh hysterically, because the hysteria pod sticks together.
Yeah. Oh, are people over 40 allowed?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. Please, they are welcome.
Guys, let's have a squad outing.
Do I get
outing.
Priority seating?
You do.
Okay.
Okay, let's have a squad outing. We're all going to Z-Way's show on the
12th. Oh, my God, please.
That'll be super fun. If you listeners want to get in touch with us, you can email us. We have an email address. It's hysteria@crooked.com. It's just the name at crooked.com. Pretty easy. Mm. You can also follow all of us on social media. I'm really easy to find. If you're too lazy to just find me, I'm not going to make it easier for you. Thank you for tuning in, Ziwei, Blair, and Alyssa. I'm so stoked that you joined me this week. If you liked what you heard on this podcast, please rate us and subscribe on iTunes. If you didn't like it, just shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
XOXO. If you didn't like us, why don't you just give us 5 stars?
Yeah, exactly.
I would be so bummed.
I'll show those bitches.
Yeah, and then check your sex as a man.
Well, happy 4th to everybody who's listening, and everybody, I guess, except Donald Trump. Happy 4th of July to everybody except Donald Trump. This was Hysteria, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
See you next week.